Star Wars, Dark Force Rising, by Timothy Zahn. Continued. Cassette number 9, side 2. I hope no one comes aboard while I'm doing it, he muttered as he slipped into the car. Be a little hard to explain. No one's coming aboard, she said, as the turbolift door closed behind him and the car started to move. I've keyed it for non-stop. She eyed him. You still want to do it this way? I don't think we've got any real choice, he said, getting into the flight suit. It felt uncomfortably tight over his regular outfit. Han and I tried the frontal approach once on the Death Star. It wasn't exactly an unqualified success. Yes, but you didn't have access to the main computer then, Mara pointed out. If I can fiddle the records and transfer orders, we ought to be able to get him out before anyone realizes they've been had. But you'd still be leaving witnesses behind who knew he'd left, Luke reminded her. If any of them decided to check on the order verbally, the whole thing would fall apart right there. And I don't think that suppression trick I used in the ready room will work on detention center guards. They're bound to be too alert. All right, Mara said, turning back to the turbolift control board. It doesn't sound like much fun to me, but if that's what you want, I'm game. The detention center was in the far aft section of the ship, a few decks beneath the command and systems control sections, and directly above engineering and the huge sublight drive thrust nozzles. The turbolift car shifted directions several times along the way, alternating between horizontal and vertical movement. It seemed to Luke to be altogether too complicated a route, and he found himself wondering even now if Mara might be pulling some kind of double cross. But her sense didn't indicate any such treachery, and it occurred to him that she might have deliberately tangled their path to put the Chimera's internal security systems off the scent. At last, the car came to a halt, and the door slid open. They stepped out into a long corridor in which a handful of crewers and maintenance coveralls could be seen going about their business. Your access door is that way, Mara murmured, nodding down the corridor. I'll give you 3 minutes to get set. Luke nodded and set off, striving to look like he belonged there. His footsteps echoed on the metal deck, bringing back memories of that near-disastrous visit to the first Death Star. But he'd been a wide-eyed kid then, dazzled by visions of glory and heroism, and too naive to understand the deadly dangers that went with such things. Now he was older and more seasoned, and knew exactly what it was he was walking into. And yet he was walking into it anyway. Dimly, he wondered if that made him less reckless than he'd been the last time, or more so. He reached the door and paused beside it, pretending to study a data pad that had been in one of the flight suit's pockets until the corridor was deserted. Then, taking one last deep breath of clear air, he opened the door and stepped inside. Even holding his breath, the stench hit him like a slap in the face. Whatever advancements the Empire might have made in the past few years, their shipboard garbage pits still smelled as bad as ever. He let the door slide shut behind him, and as it did so, he heard the faint sound of an internal relay closing. He'd cut things a little too close. Mara must already have activated the compression cycle. Breathing through his mouth, he waited, and a moment later, with a muffled clang of heavy hydraulics, the walls began moving slowly toward each other. Luke swallowed, gripping his lightsaber tightly as he tried to keep on top of the tangle of garbage and discarded equipment that was now starting to buck and twist around his feet. Getting into the detention level this way had been his idea, and he'd had to talk long and hard before Mara had been convinced. But now that he was actually here, and the walls were closing in on him, it suddenly didn't seem like nearly such a good idea anymore. If Mara couldn't adequately control the wall's movement, or if she was interrupted at her task, or if she gave in for just a few seconds to her hatred for him. The walls came ever closer, grinding together everything in their path. Luke struggled to keep his footing, all too aware that if Mara was planning a betrayal, he wouldn't know until it was too late to save himself. The compressor walls were too thick for him to cut a gap with his lightsaber, and already the shifting mass beneath his feet had taken him too far away from the door to escape that way. Listening to the creak of tortured metal and plastic, Luke watched as the gap between the walls closed to 2 meters, then 1.5, then 1, and came to a shuddering halt just under a meter apart. Luke took a deep breath, almost not noticing the rancid smell. Mara hadn't betrayed him, and she'd handled her end of the scheme perfectly. Now it was his turn. Moving to the back end of the chamber, he gathered his feet beneath him and jumped. The footing was unstable, and the garbage compactor walls impressively tall. And even with Jedi enhancement behind the jump, he made it only about halfway to the top. But even as he reached the top of his arc, he drew his knees up and swung his feet out. And with a wrenching jolt to his legs and lower back, he wedged himself solidly between the walls. Taking a moment to catch his breath and get his bearings, he started up. It wasn't as bad as he'd feared it would be. He'd done a fair amount of climbing as a boy on Tatooine, and had tackled rock chimneys at least half a dozen times, though never with any real enthusiasm. The smooth walls here in the compactor offered less traction than stone would have, but the evenness of the spacing and the absence of sharp rocks to dig into his back more than made up for it. Within a couple of minutes, he had reached the top of the compactor's walls and the maintenance chute that would lead, he hoped, to the detention level. If Mara's reading of the schedule had been right, he had about 5 minutes before the guard shift changed up there. Setting his teeth together, he forced his way through the magnetic screen at the bottom of the chute, and, in clean air again, started up. He made it in just over 5 minutes to discover that Mara's reading had indeed been right. Through the grating that covered the chute opening, he could hear the sounds of conversation and movement coming from the direction of the control room, punctuated by the regular hiss of opening turbolift doors. The guard was changing, and for the next couple of minutes, both shifts would be in the control room. An ideal time, if he was quick, to slip a prisoner out from under their noses. Hanging onto the grating by one hand, he got his lightsaber free and ignited it. Making sure not to let the tip of the blade show through into the corridor beyond, he sliced off a section of the grating and eased it into the shaft with him. He used a hook from his flight suit to hang the section to what was left of the grating and climbed through the opening. The corridor was deserted. Luke glanced at the nearest cell number to orient himself and set off toward the one Mara had named. The conversation in the control room seemed to be winding down, and soon now the new shift of guards would be moving out to take up their positions in the block corridors. Senses alert, Luke slipped down the cross corridor to the indicated cell, and mentally crossing his fingers, punched the lock release. Talon Carter looked up from the cot as the door slid open, that well-remembered sardonic half-smile on his face. His eyes focused on the face above the flight suit, and abruptly the smile vanished. "I don't believe it," he murmured. "Me either," Luke told him, throwing a quick glance around the room. "You fit to travel?" "Fit and ready," Carter said, already up and moving toward the door. "Fortunately, they're still in the softening up phase. Lack of food and sleep. You're familiar with the routine."
"I've heard of it."
Luke looked both ways down the corridor. Still no one.
"Exit's this way. Come on."
They made it to the grating without incident.
"You must be joking, of course," Carter said, as Luke maneuvered his way into the hole
and got his feet and back braced against the chute walls. The other way out has guards at the end of it, Luke reminded him. Point, Carter conceded, reluctantly looking into the gap. I suppose it'd be too much to hope for a rope. Sorry. The only place to tie it is this grate, and they'd spot that in no time. Luke frowned at him. You're not afraid of heights, are you? It's the falling from them that worries me, Carter said dryly. But he was already climbing into the opening, though his hands were white-knuckled where he gripped the grating. We're going to rock chimney it down to the garbage masher, Luke told him. You ever done that before? No, but I'm a quick study, Carter said. Looking back over his shoulder at Luke, he eased into a similar position against the chute walls. I presume you want this hole covered up, he added, pulling the grating section from its perch and fitting it back into the opening. No, it's not going to fool anyone who takes a close look at it. With luck, we'll be back at the hangar bay before that happens, Luke assured him. Come on now, slow and easy. Let's go. They made it back to the garbage compactor without serious mishap. The side of the Empire the tourists never see, Carter commented dryly as Luke led him across the tangle of garbage. How do we get out? The door's right there, Luke said, pointing down below the level of the mass they were walking on. Mara's supposed to open the walls again in a couple of minutes and let us down. Ah, Carter said. Mara's here, is she? She told me on the trip here how you were captured, Luke said, trying to read Carter's sense. If he was angry at Mara, he was hiding it well. She said she wasn't in on that trap. Oh, I'm sure she wasn't, Carter said, if for no other reason than that my interrogators worked so hard to drop hints to the contrary. He looked thoughtfully at Luke. What did she promise for your help in this? Luke shook his head. Nothing. She just reminded me that I owed you one for not turning me over to the Imperials back on Mirkur. A wry smile twitched Carter's lip. Indeed. No mention either of why the Grand Admiral wanted me in the first place. Luke frowned at him. The other was watching him closely. And now that he was paying attention, Luke could tell that Carter was holding some secret back from him. I assumed it was in revenge for helping me escape. Is there more to it than that? Carter's gaze drifted away from him. Let's just say that if we make it away from here, the New Republic stands to gain a great deal. His last word was cut off by a muffled clang, and with a ponderous jolt, the compactor walls began slowly moving apart again. Luke helped Carter maintain his balance as they waited for the door to be clear, stretching his senses outward into the corridor beyond. There were a fair number of crewers passing by, but he could sense no suspicion or special alertness in any of them. Is Mara doing all this? Carter asked. Luke nodded. She has an access code for the ship's computer. Interesting, Carter murmured. I gathered from all this that she had some past connection with the Empire. Obviously, she was more highly placed than I realized. Luke nodded, thinking back to Mara's revelation to him back in the Mirkur forest. Mara Jade, the Emperor's hand. Yes, he told Carter soberly. She was. The walls reached their limit and shut down. A moment later, there was a click of a relay. Luke waited until the corridor immediately outside was deserted, then opened it and stepped out. A couple of maintenance techs working at an open panel a dozen meters down the corridor threw a look of idle curiosity at the newcomers. Throwing an equally unconcerned glance back their way, Luke pulled the data pad from his pocket and pretended to make an entry.
Carda played off the cue, standing beside him and spouting a stream of helpful jargon as Luke filled out his imaginary report. Letting the door slide closed, Luke stuffed the data pad back into his pocket and led the way down the corridor. Mara was waiting at the turbolift cluster with the spare flight suit draped over her arm.
"Car's on its way," she murmured.
For a second, as her eyes met Carda's, her face seemed to tighten. "He knows you didn't betray him," Luke told her quietly.
"I didn't ask," she growled.
But Luke could sense some of her tension vanished.
"Here," she added, thrusting the flight suit at Carda. "A little camouflage."
"Thank you," Carda said. "Where are we going?"
"We came in on a supply shuttle," Mara said. "We cut an exit hole in the lower hull, but we should have enough time to weld it airtight before they send us back to the surface."
The turbolift car arrived as Carda was adjusting the fasteners on his borrowed flight suit. Two men with a gleaming power core relay on a float table were there before them, taking up most of the room.
"Where to?" one of the techs asked, with the absent politeness of a man with more important things on his mind.
"Pilot ready room 33129T, Mara told him, using the same tone. The tech entered the destination on the panel, and the door slid shut. And Luke took his first really relaxed breath, since Mara had put the skip ray down on Wistral 5 hours ago. Another 10 or 15 minutes, and they'd be safely back in their shuttle. Against all odds, they'd done it. The midpoint report from the hangar bay came in, and Pelion paused in his monitoring of the bridge deflector control overhaul to take a quick look at it.
Excellent. The unloading was running nearly 8 minutes ahead of schedule. At this rate, the Chimera would be able to make its rendezvous with the Stormhawk in plenty of time for them to set up their ambush of the rebel convoy assembling off Corfai. He marked the report as noted and sent it back into the files. And he had turned his attention back to the deflector overhaul when he heard a quiet footstep behind him.
"Good evening, Captain," Thrawn nodded, coming up beside Pelion's chair and giving the bridge a leisurely scan.
"Admiral," Pelion nodded back, swiveling to face him. "I thought you'd retired for the night, sir."
"I've been in my command room," Thrawn said, looking past Pelion at the displays. "I thought I'd make one last survey of ship's status before I went to my quarters. Is that the bridge deflector overhaul?"
"Yes, sir," Pelion said, wondering which species artwork had been favored with the Grand Admiral's scrutiny tonight.
"No problem so far. The cargo unloading down in Aft Bay 2 is running ahead of schedule 2.
"Good," the Grand Admiral said. "Anything further from the patrol at Endor?"
"Just an addendum to that one report, sir," Pelion told him. "Apparently they've confirmed that the ship they caught coming into the system was in fact just a smuggler planning to sift again through the remains of the Imperial base there. They're continuing to back-check the crew."
"Remind them to make a thorough job of it before they let the ship go," Thrawn said grimly. "Organa Solo won't have simply abandoned the Millennium Falcon in orbit there. Sooner or later, she'll return for it. And when she does, I intend to have her."
"Yes, sir," Pelion nodded. The commander of the Endor patrol group, he was certain, didn't need any reminding of that.
"Speaking of the Millennium Falcon, have you decided yet whether or not to do any further scan work on it?"
Thrawn shook his head.
"I doubt that would gain us anything. The scanning team would be better employed assisting with maintenance on the Chimera's own systems. Have the Millennium Falcon transferred up to vehicle deep storage until we can find some use for it."
"Yes, sir," Pelion said, swiveling back and logging the order. "Oh, and there was one other strange report that came in a few minutes ago. a routine patrol on the supply base perimeter came across a Skip Ray blast boat that had made a crash landing out there.
A crash landing? Thrawn frowned.
Yes, sir, Pelion said, calling up the report. Its underside was in pretty bad shape, and the whole hull was scorched. The picture came up on Pelion's display, and Thrawn leaned over his shoulder for a closer look.
Any bodies?
No, sir, Pelion said. The only thing aboard, and this is the strange part, was an Isalimir. He felt Thrawn stiffen.
Show me.
Pelion keyed for the next picture, a close-up of the Isalimir on its bio-support frame. The frame isn't one of our designs, he pointed out. No telling where it came from.
Oh, there's telling, all right, Thrawn assured him.
He straightened up and took a deep breath.
Sound intruder alert, Captain. We have visitors aboard.
Pelion stared up at him in astonishment, fumbling fingers locating and twisting the alert key.
Visitors? He asked, as the alarms began their throaty wailing. Yes, Thrawn said, his glowing red eyes glittering with a sudden fire. Order an immediate check of Carda's cell. If he's still there, he's to be moved immediately and put under direct stormtrooper guard. I want another guard ring put around the supply shuttles and an immediate ID check begun of their crews. And then, he paused, have the Chimera's main computer shut down.
Pelion's fingers froze on his keyboard.
Shut down? Carry out your orders, Captain, Thrawn cut him off. Yes, sir, Pelion said between suddenly stiff lips.
In all his years of Imperial service, he had never seen a warship's main computer deliberately shut down except in space dock. To do so was to blind and cripple the craft. With intruders aboard, perhaps fatally.
It will hamper our efforts a bit, I agree, Thrawn said, as if reading Pelion's fears. But it will hamper our enemies far more. You see, the only way for them to have known the Chimera's course and destination was for Mara Jade to have tapped into the computer when we brought her and Carda aboard.
That's impossible, Pelion insisted, wincing as his computer-driven displays began to wink out. Any access codes she might have known were changed years ago.
Unless there are codes permanently hardwired into the system, Thrawn said, set there by the Emperor for his use and that of his agents. Jade, no doubt, is counting on that access in her rescue attempt. Therefore, we deprive her of it.
A stormtrooper stepped up to them.
Yes, Commander, Thrawn said.
Comlink message from detention, the electronically filtered voice announced. The prisoner, Talon Carda, is no longer in his cell.
Very well, the Grand Admiral said darkly. Alert all units to begin a search of the area between detention and the aft hangar bays. Carda is to be recaptured alive. Not necessarily undamaged, but alive. As to his would-be rescuers, I want them also alive if possible. If not, he paused, if not, I'll understand.
Chapter 23 The wail of the alarm sounded over the overhead speaker. And a few seconds later, the turbolift car came to an abrupt halt. Blast, one of the two gunners who had replaced the service techs in the car muttered, digging a small ID card from the slot behind his belt buckle. Don't they ever get tired of running drills up there on the bridge?
Talk like that might get you a face-to-face with a stormtrooper squad, the second warned, throwing a sideways glance at Luke and the others.
Stepping past the first gunner, he slid his ID card into a slot on the control board and tapped in a confirmation code.
It was a lot worse before the Grand Admiral took over. Anyway, what do you want him to do? Announce snap drills in advance?
The whole thing's burning useless, if you ask me, the first growled, clearing his ID the same way. Who they expect's gonna come aboard, anyway? Some burning pirate gang or something?
Luke glanced questioningly at Carda, wondering what they should do. But Mara was already moving toward the two gunners, the ID from her borrowed flight suit in hand. She stepped between them, reached the ID toward the slot, and whipped the edge of her hand hard into the side of the first gunner's neck. The man's head snapped sideways, and he toppled to the floor without a sound. The second gunner had just enough time to gurgle something unintelligible before Mara sent him to join his friend.
Come on, let's get out of here, she snapped, feeling along the line where the door fitted into the car's cylindrical wall. Locked solid. Come on, Skywalker, get busy here.
Luke ignited his lightsaber. How much time have we got, he asked, as he carved a narrow exit through part of the door.
Not much, Mara said grimly. Turbolift cars have sensors that keep track of the number of people inside. It'll give us maybe another minute to do our ID checks before reporting us to the system computer. I need to get to a terminal before the flag transfers from there to the main computer and brings the stormtroopers down on top of us.
Luke finished the cut and closed on the lightsaber as Mara and Carda lifted the section down and out of the way. Beyond was the tunnel wall, not quite in line with the hole.
Good, Mara said, easing through the gap. We were starting to rotate when the system froze down. There's room here to get into the tunnel.
The others followed. The turbolift tunnel was roughly rectangular in cross-section, with gleaming guide rails along the walls, ceiling, and floor. Luke could feel the tingle of electric fields as he passed close beside the rails, and he made a mental note not to touch them.
Where are we going? He whispered down the tunnel toward Mara. Right here, she whispered back, stopping at a red-rimmed plate set in the wall between the guide rails. Access tunnel. Should lead back to a service droid storage room and a computer terminal.
The lightsaber made quick work of the access panel's safety interlock. Mara darted through the opening, blaster in hand, and disappeared down the dark tunnel beyond. Luke and Carda followed past a double row of deactivated maintenance droids, each with a bewildering array of tools fanned out from their limbs as if for inspection. Beyond the droids, the tunnel widened into a small room, where, as predicted, a terminal sat nestled amid the tubes and cables. Mara was already hunched over it. But as Luke stepped into the room, he caught the sudden shock in her sense.
What's the matter? He asked. They've shut down the main computer, she said, a stunned expression on her face. Not just bypassed or put it on standby. Shut it down.
The Grand Admiral must have figured out you can get into it, Carda said, coming up behind Luke. We'd better get moving. Do you have any idea where we are?
I think we're somewhere above the aft hangar bays, Mara said. Those service techs got off just forward of the central crew section, and we hadn't gone very far down yet.
Above the hangar bays, Carda repeated thoughtfully. Near the vehicle deep storage area, in other words.
Mara frowned at him.
Are you suggesting we grab a ship from up there?
Why not? Carda countered. They'll probably be expecting us to go directly to one of the hangar bays. They might not be watching for us to come in via vehicle lift from deep storage.
And if they are, it'll leave us trapped like clipped Minox when the stormtroopers come to get us, Mara retorted, trying to shoot our way out of deep storage.
Hold it, Luke cut her off, Jedi combat senses tingling a warning. Someone's coming.
Mara muttered a curse and dropped down behind the computer terminal, blaster trained on the door.
Carda, still weaponless, faded back into the partial cover of the service tunnel and the maintenance droids lined up there. Luke flattened himself against the wall beside the door, lightsaber held ready, but not ignited. He let the force flow through him as he poised for action, listening to the dark, purposeful senses of the troopers coming up to the door, and recognizing to his regret that no subtle mind touches would accomplish anything here. Gripping his lightsaber tightly, he waited. Abruptly, with only a flicker of warning, the door slid open, and two stormtroopers were in the room, blaster rifles at the ready. Luke raised his lightsaber, thumb on the activation switch. And from the tunnel where Carda had disappeared, a floodlight suddenly winked on, accompanied by the sound of metal grinding against metal. The stormtroopers took a long step into the room, angling to opposite sides of the door, their blaster rifles swinging reflexively toward the light and sound as two black-clad naval troopers crowded into the room behind them. The stormtroopers spotted Mara crouching beside the terminal, and the blaster rifles changed direction to track back toward her. Mara was faster. Her blaster spat four times, two shots per stormtrooper, and both Imperials dropped to the floor, one with blaster still firing uselessly in death reflex. The naval troopers behind them dived for cover, firing wildly toward their attacker. A single sweep of the lightsaber caught them both. Luke closed down the weapon and ducked his head out the doorway for a quick look around. "All clear," he told Mara, coming back in. "For now, anyway," she countered, holstering her blaster and picking up two of the blaster rifles. "Come on." Carter was waiting for them at the access panel they'd come in by. "Doesn't sound like the turbo lifts have been reactivated yet," he said. "It should be safe to move through the tunnels a while longer. Any trouble with the search party?" "No," Mara said, handing him one of the blaster rifles. "Effective diversion, by the way." "Thank you," Carda said. "Maintenance droids are such useful things to have around. Deep storage." "Deep storage," Mara agreed heavily. "You just better be right about this." "My apologies in advance if I'm not. Let's go." Slowly, by comlink and intercom, the reports began to come in. They weren't encouraging. "No sign of them anywhere in the detention level area," a stormtrooper commander reported to Pelion, with the distracted air of someone trying to hold one conversation while listening to another. "One of the waste chute gratings in detention has been found cut open. That must be how they got Carda out." "Never mind how they got him out," Pelion growled. "The recriminations can wait until later. The important thing right now is to find them." "The security teams are searching the area of that turbolift alert," the other said, his tone implying that anything a stormtrooper commander said must, by definition, be important. "So far, there's been no contact." Thrawn turned from the two communications officers who had been relaying messages for him to and from the hangar bays. "How was the waste chute grating cut open?" he asked. "I have no information on that," the commander said. "Get it," Thrawn said, his tone icy. "Also, inform your search parties that two maintenance techs have reported seeing a man in a TIE fighter flight suit in the vicinity of that waste collector. Warn your guards in the aft hangar bays as well." "Yes, sir," the commander said. Pelion looked at Thrawn. "I don't see how it matters right now how they got Carda out, sir," he said. "Wouldn't our resources be better spent in finding them?" "Are you suggesting that we send all our soldiers and stormtroopers converging on the hangar bays?" Thrawn asked mildly. "That we thereby assume our quarry won't seek to cause damage elsewhere before attempting their escape?" "No, sir," Pelion said, feeling his face warming. "I realize we need to protect the entire ship. It just seems to me to be a low-priority line of inquiry."
Indulge me, Captain, Thrawn said quietly. It's only a hunch, but...
Admiral, the stormtrooper commander interrupted. Report from Search Team 207 on Deck 98, Nexus 326-KK. Pelion's fingers automatically started for his keyboard. Came up short as he remembered that there was no computer mapping available to pinpoint the location for him. They found Team 102, all dead, the commander continued. Two were killed by blaster fire. The other two... He hesitated. There seems to be some confusion about the other two.
No confusion, Commander, Thrawn put in, his voice suddenly deadly. Instruct them to look for near microscopic cuts across the bodies with partial cauterization.
Pelion stared at him. There was a cold fire in the Grand Admiral's eyes that hadn't been there before.
Partial cauterization, he repeated stupidly. And then inform them, Thrawn continued, that one of the intruders is the Jedi Luke Skywalker.
Pelion felt his mouth drop open. Skywalker? He gasped. That's impossible. He's on Jomark with Kabauth.
Was, Captain, Thrawn corrected icily. He's here now.
He took a deep, controlled breath, and as he let it out, the momentary anger seemed to fade away.
Obviously, our vaunted Jedi Master failed to keep him there, as he claimed he'd be able to. And I'd say that we now have our proof that Skywalker's escape from Mirker wasn't a spur-of-the-moment decision.
You think Carda and the Rebellion have been working together all along? Pelion asked.
We'll find out soon enough, Thrawn told him, turning to look over his shoulder. Ruch?
The silent gray figure moved to Thrawn's side.
Yes, my lord. Get a squad of non-combat personnel together, Thrawn ordered. Have them collect all the Issal Emiri from engineering and systems control, and move them down to the hangar bays. There aren't nearly enough to cover the whole area, so use your hunter's instincts on their placement. The more we can hamper Skywalker's Jedi tricks, the less trouble we'll have taking him.
The Nogri nodded and headed for the bridge exit. We could also use the Issal Emiri from the bridge, Pelion began.
Quiet a moment, Captain.
Thrawn cut him off, his glowing eyes gazing unseeing through the side viewport and the edge of the planet turning beneath them.
I need to think. Yes, they'll try to travel in concealment whenever possible, I think. For now, that means the turbolift tunnels.
He gestured to the two communications officers still standing beside his chair.
Order turbolift control to put the system back into normal service, except for the 326-KK Nexus, between Deck 98 and the aft hangar bays, he instructed them. All cars in that area are to be moved to the nearest cluster point and remain locked there until further notice.
One of the officers nodded and began relaying the order into his comlink.
You trying to herd them toward the hangar bays? Pelion hazarded.
I'm trying to herd them in from a specific direction, yes, Thrawn nodded.
His forehead was creased with thought, his eyes still gazing at nothing in particular.
The question is what they'll do once they realize that. Presumably try to break out of the Nexus, but in which direction?
I doubt they'll be foolish enough to return to the supply ship, Pelion suggested. My guess is that they'll bypass the aft hangar bays entirely and try for one of the assault shuttles in the forward bays.
Perhaps, Thrawn agreed slowly. If Skywalker is directing the escape, I'd say that was likely. But if Carda is giving the orders...
He fell silent, again deep in thought. It was somewhere to start anyway.
Have extra guards placed around the assault shuttles, Pelion ordered the stormtrooper commander. Better put some men inside the ships, too, in case the intruders make it that far.
No, they won't make for the shuttles if Carda's in command, Thrawn murmured. He's more apt to try something less obvious. Perhaps TIE fighters. Or perhaps he'll return to the supply shuttles after all, assuming we won't expect that. Or else...
Abruptly, his head snapped around to look at Pelion.
The Millennium Falcon, he demanded. Where is it?
Again, Pelion's hand reached uselessly for his command board. I ordered it sent to deep storage, sir. I don't know whether or not the order's been carried out.
Thrawn jabbed a finger at the stormtrooper commander. You, get someone on the hangar bay computer and find that ship. Then get a squad there.
The Grand Admiral looked at Pelion, and for the first time since ordering the intruder alert, he smiled.
We have them, Captain.
Carda pulled away the section of cable duct that Luke had cut and carefully looked through the opening. No one seems to be around, he murmured over his shoulder, his voice almost inaudible over the background rumble of machinery coming through from the room beyond. I think we've beaten them here. If they're coming at all, Luke said.
They're coming, Mara growled. Bet on it. If there was one thing Thrawn had over all the other Grand Admirals, it was a knack for predicting his enemy's strategy.
There are a half dozen ships out there, Carda continued. Unmarked intelligence ships, from the look of them. Any would probably do.
Any idea where we are? Luke asked, trying to see past him through the cable duct. There was a fair amount of empty space out there surrounding the ships, plus a gaping, light-rimmed opening in the deck that was presumably the shaft of a heavy vehicle lift. Unlike the one he remembered from the Death Star's hangar bay, though, this shaft had a corresponding hole in the ceiling above it to allow ships to be moved farther up toward the Star Destroyer's core.
We're near the bottom of the deep storage section, I think, Carda told him, a deck or two above the aft hangar bays. The chief difficulty will be if the lift itself is a deck down, blocking us from access to the bay and entry port.
Well, let's get in there and find out, Mara said, fingering her blaster rifle restlessly. Waiting here won't gain us anything.
Agreed. Carda cocked his head to the side. I think I hear the lift coming now. They're slow, though, and there's enough cover by the ships. Skywalker?
Luke ignited his lightsaber again and quickly cut them a hole large enough to get through. This book is continued on cassette number 10, side 1.